Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, there's no real news on Freddie Freeman, but there was some Braves news that might drive him a little closer to the Dodgers, plus some new additions to the Dodgers broadcast team and a news roundup from spring training. Let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, just go ahead and subscribe in all those places so you'll never miss a day, because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans just like you, and we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, which is probably a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So again, please subscribe wherever you're getting this, and if you're listening, go ahead and subscribe on YouTube too, just for fun, you know. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, Vince. We mentioned one of the best things about this lockout ending is there's actual baseball news to talk about, and even on a slow day like this, Monday was a relatively slow day for the Dodgers. As far as news goes, there's still a ton to talk about because there's news adjacent to the Dodgers and stuff that might turn into Dodgers news. And then there's actual, 8 or 10 tidbits of Dodgers news too, that we've been missing out. So it sure is nice to have real baseball back.
Yeah, it feels great. Personally, it's fun because I actually get to do stuff for my job again, where instead of finding old clips and trying to find high school bat flips and everything else, I get to have actual MLB news. That part's fun. And then obviously when it comes down to the Dodgers, that part's fun. Now, we didn't quite get the big news that we've been kind of waiting for, expecting, but we got maybe the first domino that to fall in that potential big news, with Matt Olson being traded to the Braves and the Braves GM getting choked up when talking about the trade, mostly in regards to Freddie Freeman, just not stated. The manager talked and he kind of, realized what the writing on the wall is. And now we're just all kind of sitting and waiting around.
Yeah. Freddie Freeman's time with the Braves is over. That's clear. And, the only question is, what's his next team? And for a while, it seemed like it was just down to the Dodgers and Braves. Now that the Braves are out of it, other teams seem to have jumped in. The Blue Jays are rumored to be in on him. There's been one rumor that I can't tell if it's a legit rumor or not, that the Rays might be interested. So obviously, anybody who has the need of a first baseman is going to be interested in Freddie Freeman. Seems like the Yankees, after taking on Josh Donaldson's contract, maybe you're financially tapped out and going to go with a less expensive first base option. But right now, I'm still feeling good about the Dodgers' chances of getting him, regardless of what Carlos Baerga says. Carlos Baerga says 70% chance he signs with the Blue Jays. But Carlos Baerga, he was a solid player, but I don't know where he's getting his information. And I texted with I can't say who, but a player who was a better player than Carlos Baerga and knows Freddie Freeman personally, doesn't have any inside information, but he said he thinks Freddie's coming to the Dodgers, and my player was a lot better than Carlos Baerga, so I'm taking his word instead.
Yeah, I've talked to a former player agent that still knows a bunch of people in the industry. He thinks the same thing, Dodgers, that Freddie's coming to the Dodgers. It's just a matter of figuring everything out. The Blue Jays thing, I guess the biggest tie is obviously they're a fun young team. He also has a dual citizenship. He's Canadian and American. But other than that, I don't know that the Blue Jays have spent a lot of money in recent years. Obviously, they have like a young talent right now, so they still have a little bit of flexibility there. But if it's going to come down to the Blue Jays and Dodgers, and it's not really, you know, a matter of – I don't think the Blue Jays are going to, like, overpay to get Freddie Freeman. I think they already built their team well enough this offseason to add on to what they had last year. I think they've taken – stepped over the Yankees. I think they're going to step over the Red Sox, and I think they're going to battle the Rays or maybe even take over the Rays for AL East. So it's not necessarily a – it's kind of the same with the Dodgers. Not priority, more of a luxury. Yeah, the Rays being mentioned is interesting just because I don't think they've ever spent $150 million on anybody. So it would not make sense for it to happen now. And other than that, there's really nobody else. Yeah, the Yankees theoretically could pay Freddie Freeman if they wanted to, but for some reason they haven't been willing to step over and pay and get into the deeper luxury taxes. So it seems like it's all signs pointing to L.A., you know, obviously the hometown part of it as well. But the fact that it hasn't happened yet, and we're not entirely sure why, other than, you know, the Dodgers do have to clear a 40-man spot, but realistically, that's a lot easier said than done if you're getting somebody like Freddie Freeman. I would imagine it's going to come to a head before Friday, before actual games start. Maybe he's just packing up and getting to Arizona since he's used to being in Florida for spring training.
Yeah, that could be. The Dodgers and Blue Jays are in a similar boat in that neither of them needs a first baseman. The Dodgers have Max Muncy. The Blue Jays have Vlad Guerrero. The main difference I see is that Max Muncy can actually play other positions. And Vlad Guerrero, and he started as a third baseman, and they moved him to first base because he doesn't have the athleticism to play third base. And so it would seem weird to me for the Blue Jays to – I mean, that seems like Freeman would basically push Vlad to full-time DH, and that's not generally what you want to do with a 23-year-old. So, you know, like I've said before, I'm not surprised the Blue Jays are interested because Freddie Freeman makes every lineup better, but they don't quite have the positional flexibility that the Dodgers have. So it doesn't make as much sense to me.
Yeah, that's true. And the Blue Jays were also linked to Kyle Schwarber, another guy who would be more of a DH type. He played some first base, played some outfield, but more than likely a DH type. So if they sign Schwarber, then it all pretty much leads to L.A. anyways, unless some mystery team swoops in. But like I said, I feel like at this point it might just be a matter of, you know, actually the other part too that I was thinking is that there was a report that the Braves didn't tell Freddie Freeman or didn't notify his camp that they were going to trade for Matt Olson, which, you know, realistically they didn't need to, but I don't know if it's a matter, like they could have told you, hey, we're thinking about moving on or whatever. I don't know what their conversations are like. But if that kind of came out of left fields for Freddie Freeman and his camp, that also could adjust his plans. Like, oh, we thought, you know, maybe they thought they were going back to the Braves at some point, but they were just trying to get that extra year. And now they're like, oh, the Braves aren't going to give us that extra year and probably aren't going to want us or be able to afford us at all. So now we have to actually look at these other teams and decide what we want to do.
Yeah, for sure. That definitely could be it. I'm torn on whether I think that's a bad thing that the Braves didn't tell him. You know, it seems like, you know, we also saw reports that the Braves never really made a big push for Freeman. And so, you know, seems like maybe the writing's been on the wall that he wasn't coming back. And so the fact that they traded for his replacement, I think I come down on the side of they don't really have an obligation to tell him that. But, you know, maybe a phone call just saying, hey, Freddie, just so you know, we are moving on. We wish you the best, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, it's probably one of those things that feels like a big deal on social media and probably isn't in real life.
Yeah, like I said, they as a team in negotiations, you never really want to give up your kind of side, your tactics, even in regards to, you know, a player like Freddie Freeman. And, you know, if they had this trade in the works, I mean, the trade literally came out of nowhere. They said that they had talked about Olson, maybe, you know, pre-lockout just in case Freddie left. But it went from no reports to, hey, the Braves just got Matt Olson. So, you know, maybe it came up faster than they thought. But yeah, I mean, that's just the way it goes. And hopefully in tomorrow's episode, we're talking about Freddie Freeman actually being on the Dodgers this time, instead of just saying his name a bunch of times, but he's not a Dodger yet.
Yeah. We've talked a lot about him for probably more than any other non-Dodger. Yeah. But we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about some people who, let's see, there's a former Dodger. There's a never Dodger who has worked with the Dodgers some, and, some other surprising names, some new members of the Dodgers broadcast team. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. We want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. It's that time of year again as college basketball's tournament is finally upon us. From all the latest odds, contests, and player props, BetOnline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we are back here on Locked On Dodgers. We want to thank you again for making us your first listen every day. We also want to tell you about Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. So, Vince, on Monday, probably the biggest actual Dodger news that happened was the Dodgers announced a bunch of additions to their broadcast team. It seems like there's some TV, there's some radio, and there's some studio. A bunch of people we, you know, I think the only one that we had heard of before was Jose Mota was coming over from the Angels. We talked a little bit about that last month when that news came down. But others, Adrian Gonzalez, former Dodger, beloved Dodger player, team leader, Adrian Gonzalez is going to be joining the team. Dontrell Willis, who never pitched for the Dodgers, but has been involved with the Dodgers a couple. I know he's been in spring training with them. I don't know. Maybe you know more than I do, Vince. I don't know what if Dontrell Willis had an existing connection to the Dodgers or anything. Because I think, isn't he a Bay Area guy? Like, isn't he from the Bay Area originally? You're on mute.
That I don't know, but he did. The Dodgers hired him last year in a role, some capacity, special assistant or something like that. So that's really the only connection I think I can think of that he has with the Dodgers.
Yeah, he's from Alameda, California. Maybe the one that surprised me the most is Jessica Mendoza, who she's been working for ESPN. I know she had some sort of actual position with the Mets for a while, and like a front office position. But now she's hired on with the Dodgers to do, she's going to do some road TV games. I think I read that it's her and Dontrell Willis are going to do some road games with Joe Davis, kind of lightening Oral Hershiser's load a little bit. Maybe that comes along with the news that Joe and Oral are going to be traveling again. Maybe Oral at this stage in his life doesn't want to be doing quite so much travel. And so we've seen that with multiple Dodgers broadcasters in the past. You know, Vin Scully, obviously, at near the end of his career. Charlie Steiner hasn't done much traveling the last several years. And so it seems like Oral might be sliding into a position like that, which it's weird to me to think of Oral Hershiser being old, but you know, and not super old, but you know, old enough that maybe he can dictate his own terms on how much he wants to travel.
Yeah. Jessica Mendoza is an interesting one, especially because when she was in that capacity with the Mets, I think the Dodgers were one of the teams that complained about her being in the locker room before a game, trying to get info when she was on Sunday Night Baseball, trying to get intel because, you know, theoretically she worked for the Mets and she could get intel that would help the Mets against the Dodgers or something like that. So that part's interesting. The other one they added was Eric Karros or Karras, if you're Vin Scully. He's also going to call games. It says home and road games as an analyst alongside Joe Davis as well. So yeah, it's just it was crazy to see just all the additions. And then you're like, whoa, who's not coming back? But then it was also said that everyone's coming back, even Tim Neverett, and then obviously Oro and Joe and Kirsten Watson. So I guess it's just a matter of maybe they want more people to get days off or whatever the case is. But it's all good. Adrian Gonzalez should be good in the studio. You know, he'll have a good insight on not just baseball, but just kind of locker room and everything else. I'm sure he keeps in some contact with some of the guys in there or will now, especially that he's around. Him and Nomar, you know, will probably be doing stuff. And it's just a lot of smart baseball people. I know there's people that have different opinions on Jessica Mendoza specifically, but I think she's fine. She knows the game. I think she just got a bad rap. I think if you're on ESPN, I don't remember anybody on ESPN really being like maybe John Miller back in the day, but I think she's got a bad rap. There's a lot of smart baseball people now that are going to be talking about the Dodgers, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. And I also, you know, I actually don't have an opinion on Jessica Mendoza because I hardly ever watch the ESPN games. And when I do, it's only because the Dodgers are on, and it's almost always on mute because Sunday evenings are generally family time for me. And so I think was her first game with ESPN. I think maybe the no hitter that Jake Arrieta threw against the Dodgers. I feel like that was,
that I don't know, because I was at that game. So
I feel like that was her first game with ESPN, and it might be the only one that I've ever watched her broadcast. Because I was in either Philadelphia or Washington, D.C. on a baseball trip and watched that in a hotel room. But yeah, so I haven't, I'm excited to listen to her. I've heard good things. I've heard bad things too, but you know, everybody dislikes every broadcaster, it seems like, especially on the national broadcasts. One thought I had about the people they're bringing in, you know, Jose Mota, we talked about, he you know, he's bilingual, and with, you know, Jaime Jarrín's career status right now, it, you know, you kind of think they're maybe looking to the future there with the Spanish language broadcast. You know, Adrian Gonzalez and Jessica Mendoza also both kind of fit that bill of people who could, I don't know, actually, you know, I know Adrian Gonzalez is definitely a fluent Spanish speaker. I don't know for sure that Jessica Mendoza is fluent in Spanish. I know she speaks Spanish, but I don't know if it would be, do a Spanish broadcast level, but, you know, it's probably not a coincidence that they are bringing in a few more Spanish speakers right now with Jaime Jarrín's status. Somebody's got to pair up with Fernando soon, and you know, maybe doing some secret auditions for that job. But you know, the other big question mark is, are they doing this because Joe Davis's workload with the Dodgers might be reduced? Because Joe Buck is leaving Fox to go to ESPN, which opens up the top Fox spot in baseball. And Joe Davis, we've heard reports that he's the front runner. He's definitely the most logical choice. He's the best option. And you know, the one thing that, you know, part of it makes me nervous that Joe is going to leave the Dodgers and just focus on Fox. But he's been doing Fox games all along his whole time he's worked for the Dodgers. So it's not like there's, Fox doesn't have weekday games or anything that he'd have to be doing. And so it seems likely that he could keep his current schedule. It's just that he would get to do all the postseason games too. And the other thing that makes me, reassures me a little bit about that, is that none of the people they've brought in really are play-by-play people. They're mostly color commentator types more than play-by-play.
Yeah, obviously that, you know, I tweeted the other day, Joe Davis, World Series broadcaster, signed me up or something like that. And I think a couple people replied like, oh, does that mean he would leave the Dodgers? And honestly, I didn't even think about that at the time when I was mentioning it. But yeah, I think the only way Joe Davis would like get away from the Dodgers is if they gave him the Joe Buck role, specific like football and baseball. As of right now, it looks like they're doing it separate, a different football guy that's going to do all the Fox, you know, the main Fox football games and the Super Bowl the next couple of years, I believe. And then you know, they're looking for a separate baseball person, which, you know, Joe Davis already kind of does it. He filled in, was it last year, 2020, filled in game 7 because Joe Buck had a Fox football game. So hopefully that's what that means. That he would just, you know, kind of stick around and do what he's been doing. And, you know, we might miss him sometimes, but now at least when we miss him, I don't know who, I guess never would fill in with some of these guys, or maybe they go with trying out one of these guys as play-by-play. I don't know exactly, but yeah, I would hate to lose Joe Davis. Obviously he deserves everything that he gets, but if he just sticks with baseball, then I think we'll be fine with Fox.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, you and I, because kind of baseball is our first love, you know, you like other sports too. I don't even care about the other sports, but we're both baseball people. And so I think we want everybody else to love baseball the most. And Joe Davis was a college football player, you know, he likes football, but you know, hopefully he's really good at baseball. So hopefully he will just focus on that. And you know, he still does some college football and all that. So, you know, He's done so much national broadcast stuff the last several years that there's no reason to think that an increased seniority at Fox would actually affect his ability to be the Dodgers announcer. The only question is if the increased money from Fox would decrease his need to be the Dodgers announcer, you know, and it's, yeah, I guess that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's the news. You have any other thoughts on any of the other broadcasters? Like, I don't know that I guess I've seen Dontrell Willis in a couple studio shows or stuff. But I don't really have big opinions on him as a commentator.
He's fun on social media, and yeah, he's been on, I think, one of the crews of one of those shows. So I would imagine he's gonna be fun. I don't know exactly what he's gonna bring, but compared to what they've had in the past of maybe people that weren't baseball players or weren't, directly with baseball knowledge, it seems like they're going to have at least a former player or something of that sort on every type of broadcast. And that's always, even though, like, obviously we're talking podcasts and we played baseball growing up, but, nothing beyond, nothing in professionals, but it's just a little bit different when you get different insight. Oral gives different insight and obviously Joe Davis gives in terms of things of that nature. So I think it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, so we're going to come back in a minute. Just kind of going to do a news roundup from spring training, some Dodgers news, some non-Dodgers news that affects the Dodgers and all that. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and keep it locked on Dodgers. Let's talk about Built Bar. As you know, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the world. It tastes like a candy bar. It's also really good for you, unlike every candy bar you've ever had, which was bad for you. They also have Built Puffs that are like chocolate covered marshmallows that are also good for you somehow. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Black Magic, but whatever it is, it's awesome. And you know what? If it is Black Magic, they're not charging very much for it. They're pretty affordable. And all of them are low calorie, low carb, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, all the good stuff, none of the bad stuff. And like I said, it's affordable. If it's not quite affordable enough, if you think, if it was just 15% cheaper, that would be in my budget. I got news for you, brother. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15 and you will get 15% off your order. That's the exact amount you just said you needed. Promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, we are back. And there is a lot of news to get around. We'll probably save the biggest news for last to talk about. Just a couple quick hits. Dave Roberts said that Caleb Ferguson and Tommy Canley, who are both recovering from Tommy John surgery, both of them are unlikely to be ready for opening day. He also said the door is not closed on Kenley Jansen returning. The Phillies did sign Brad Hand. And so that, the Phillies have always been kind of one of the teams that we expect to make a push for Kenley Jansen, but they've now added Corey Knebel and Brad Hand this offseason. And so maybe that decreases the chances they're going to go after Kenley Jansen. We know the White Sox are going for pitchers, but they signed Joe Kelly. Seems like maybe Kenley's potential suitors might be decreasing. But David Vasse did say that he expects Kenley to want a big payday and not take a hometown discount. And so it seems like there's probably going to be somebody willing to give him that payday.
Yeah, I think the wording Dave Roberts used was something to the nature of it, it's going to depend on him and his family, which made it seem like, do you want to play for less for the Dodgers, stay in LA, play for the Dodgers and have a chance to win? Or do you want to go try to find that payday? And, I would say it's interesting that we haven't heard anything about, like, no rumors or anything, but not until today or, not till Monday did we even hear stuff about Trevor Story or Carlos Correa or Chris Bryant. Like, there hasn't really been any big rumors for the guys that are left. So it makes sense that, Jansen's not quite there and he might have just a couple offers in hand already and is just still deciding, taking his time. The Marlins were mentioned before the lockout. I guess theoretically they would still be in play for that. But, it's a matter of, do you want to go get paid and close for the Marlins and finish in third or fourth place, or do you want to, get paid a little less? Maybe still have the closer role and be with the Dodgers. We saw what Kershaw decided. I don't think it was a discount based on anything more than just merit and him kind of knowing, he put the incentives in there. And I know you're going to talk about that next, but, it's just a matter of what you want. And we saw Jansen maybe take a slight discount, not too much, but a slight discount to come back the first time. And maybe he doesn't want to do it again, even though theoretically, I don't know if he pitched to his contract the whole time anyway, so he might, kick back a few dollars.
Yeah, he might. The other thing that's happened since we heard him connected to the Marlins is the Marlins team president quit because they refused to spend money. So that might, affect that too. You mentioned Clayton Kershaw's contract. We got the details from my buddy Robert Murray on the breakdown of Kershaw's contract. It's a $17 million base salary, including a $2.5 million signing bonus. And then he has escalators, $1 million bonus for or incentive for each of 16, 20, 22, 24, and 26 games pitched. So if Kershaw pitches a full season, that would put him up to $22 million instead of $17 million. And then he has, if he wins the Cy Young Award, he gets another $1.5 million. If he finishes second or third in Cy Young voting, he gets $500,000. So it could be as much as $23.5 million. More likely, I would guess it's going to end up being in the roughly $20 million range. You know, that's 22 starts would put him at $20 million. 22 is kind of the number I would expect from him, but 26 wouldn't shock me. It's not, I mean, they're not even expecting a full season of him. The escalators stop at 26 starts, which isn't even a full season. And so that's not out of the realm of possibility at all. But I like the way this contract is structured, you know, kind of gives Kershaw a chance to, you know, we talked the other day about how he's always had this concern about being a drain on the team and not being worth what he's being paid. And this is a good opportunity for him to, you know, he's not going to be in the poorhouse, even if he only makes $17 million, to be clear, but you know, it gives him a chance to actually earn the rest of that, which seems like something that's important to him.
Yeah. I mean, I think he mentioned it again the other day when in the terms of, you know, not being able to pitch and getting paid. So it's good on him. You know, at the end of the day, if the Dodgers do pay $22 million or $23.5 million for Kershaw, that's great. That means he won a Cy Young and he pitched over 26 games. And, you know, you can't ask for much more than that. And that's going to be worth way more than that money anyway. So, you know, good on that. I guess I'll go to the next part, just cleaning a couple things up. The Dodgers invited a couple other guys to camp. Jake Lamb, which you might remember with the D-backs, had one good year, 2018, and maybe it hasn't really been good since then. They Reyes Maranta, who the Dodgers have faced a few times. I think he was with the Giants and maybe the Rockies too. I don't remember that. But Amonte, we talked about yesterday. Mike Wright, some guy that Jeff and I had to look up before the show, and he had like a 5.5 ERA last year with the Rockies or somebody. So nothing special. The Dodgers roster, like we mentioned, is kind of pretty much set. I don't see any non-roster invitees really finding a way on the team unless a big trade that takes multiple players off the bench and off the team happens. I think the Dodgers are pretty set, but you know, you never know. Jake Lamb could become the next Max Muncy in case somebody gets hurt and he's happens to be in the organization.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Jake Lamb is really a funny one to me. He's a lefty who can't hit lefties. You know, so and the Dodgers, as we mentioned the other day, have a lot of left-handed bench bats. So seems like that's AAA depth or something. Definitely don't see much chance of him making the team and really any of these guys, but you know, spring training is for that, and you got to fill out a AAA team too. So that's what you got to do. Other news, the Dodgers announced that on June 18th, they're unveiling their Sandy Koufax statue, which will go next to the Jackie Robinson statue at the front door of the stadium. We've known for a couple of years, they've said that they were going to do a Sandy Koufax statue, but this is the first news that where they've finally announced when they're unveiling it. So that's obviously exciting for all of us Dodger fans, especially those of us who have named a child after Sandy Koufax. You know, pretty excited about that. The zombie runner is maybe coming back. We were excited that the runner on second and extra innings was done away with in the new CBA, but now they're talking about bringing it back just for this year because there's going to be fewer days off and more doubleheaders, and that means they don't want extra inning games to go forever. I understand why they needed this rule in 2020 with all that was going on. I don't think it needed to be there last year, but okay. I was glad they got rid of it, but I also understand this is another unique season for a different reason. It's another unique season. And so I understand the need for it. And the fact that they did do away with it and they're making a special exception to bring it back for one more year, at least gives me hope that they will do away with it after this year when we go back to normal and have no need for it, because I don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised that they were doing back to 9-inning games for doubleheaders. I think the 7-inning games honestly weren't that bad, especially if you have to do doubleheaders. Usually you don't have to do doubleheaders. The Dodgers really only have them if they play on the East Coast somewhere. So, but this year they're going to have to do doubleheaders probably. So I thought that was interesting. But yeah, if it's a matter of just trying to get the games through, you know, not compromise it realistically, you know, depending where you're at in the season and where you're at in your schedule. If you have one of those doubleheaders and then you have a series or they added a game to one of your off days, you know, you might end up throwing a position player in the, like as early as the 11th or 12th inning, just because, you know, you're willing to concede one game early in the season. Now, obviously later in the season, you might not be doing that. You know, if the Dodgers had conceded one game last or not conceded a game last year, you know, could have changed, or the Giants had conceded a game, it would have changed it. So, yeah, I don't love it. I don't think it'll stay. I don't know. The players, I think, brought it up to be used for the season, but I don't think the players are in favor of it in general. So yeah. The players aren't in favor of it. I don't think it'll come back.
Yeah, I agree. Last little bit of news isn't Dodgers news, but Fernando Tatis Jr. came into camp with a fractured wrist that, depending on who you believe and or depending on which statement from Fernando Tatis Jr. himself you believe, he probably broke it in like a dirt biking or ATV accident or something, possibly one of multiple accidents. And we don't really know. It may have been broken for a couple months and just hasn't healed right. A lot of weird stuff going on with that. The end result is he probably needs surgery and he'll probably be out for about 3 months. Because of the weirdness of the schedule, the Dodgers actually only play the Padres one series before the end of June. And so there's a chance that, you know, the Dodgers would only miss three games of Tatis. Similar, I think it was last year that they played each other like 800 times in the first month and a half of the season. Would have been nice to not have Tatis for those games. But ultimately, you know, it turned out all right for the Dodgers against the Padres last year. But I saw some talk about how the lockout might have contributed to the lack of communication between Tatis and the Padres, because the Padres seemed to have been blindsided, not really known that he was hurt. And, you know, it seems like it's been broken for a while and he didn't get it properly treated. And so I don't know. But so I reached out to our consultant on all things lockout related, our old pal, Ross Stripling. And I told him specifically, I don't want you to comment specifically on Fernando Tatis, but just in general, I asked him, you know, because I said, you know, we talked about Dustin May's situation and how the Dodgers are able to talk to May's medical team while he's rehabbing. And I said, so in a situation where a guy gets hurt during the lockout, are there protocols in place for that? Is he allowed to notify the team of his injury? Are they allowed to be as involved in the treatment as they would be normally? Or are the players on the own and the teams in the dark? And Ross, without commenting specifically on Tatis, because he doesn't really know the specifics of this situation, he said that players definitely are allowed to notify a team and the team is allowed to be to help with medical treatment if a player is injured during a work stoppage. So he reiterated, he doesn't know if that happened or didn't happen in Tatis' situation, but they're definitely allowed to.
Yeah, it's just the entire thing is just, you know, obviously interesting and a little bit weird. Somebody dug up, I guess somebody reported something back in December and Tatis said that it was fabricated and he didn't have an accident and whatever. I don't know if that was related to these types of accidents or another one, but and then he was asked about an accident after the news came out. He said, which accident? So he has now pledged to not get on motorcycles or anything anymore. The Padres, which I didn't think was going to happen, were not going to try to avoid his contract, but it opens up, you know, we don't have too much time right now, but it does open up a conversation of the Padres paid this guy too early because they didn't have to. And then now, you know, he missed time last year with shoulder and, you know, ended up not getting surgery. It ended up working out for him. He played most of the season. Now he's going to miss, you know, 3 months of or 2 to 3 months of at least this season, because one of the months is right now in March. But it opens up that conversation for the Padres, which realistic at the end of the day, if he plays like he did last year in limited time for the entirety of his contract, it's all right. But it's just kind of, you know, a thought for sure.
Yeah, for sure. There's so much to talk about. We're already a few minutes over the time we're probably supposed to take every day. We don't want to monopolize all of your time. We appreciate you guys listening to us every day, and we don't want to take advantage of that. We haven't even gotten to Cody Bellinger's new and improved batting stance. Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be talking about Freddie Freeman signing with the Dodgers. I assume we'll be talking about Freddie Freeman signing somewhere on tomorrow's episode. It seems like the time has come now that he knows he's not going to the Braves. It seems like we're going to get that news sometime here on Tuesday. So we will definitely talk about that on tomorrow's episode and whatever other news there is. But
yeah, we start now, Trey Turner, Dustin May, there's a couple other things.
So much stuff. Yeah. So we will, we'll have lots to talk about. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We appreciate it. If you're not listening every day, go ahead and add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. You can find us on podcasts or on YouTube. We appreciate it everywhere. Please subscribe on YouTube. That specifically would help us a lot. Even if you're not watching us, just log into YouTube and subscribe to us there. That would be great. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.